all of you.
It's live, local, and loud.
We have a show on a Marconi award-winning station.
This is like playing for the Yankees.
Here's Nick Greinowitz and Jerry Daniels.
All right, here we go. A Thursday night edition, live, local, and loud right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580 Orlando's news and talk. Nick Greinowitz, Nicky Football here. Jerry Daniels is with me. Thanks so much for making our Thursday part of your Thursday. Bomba goes boom last night for the Magic.
But crazy, man.
What
like,
does it
seriously
really mean? Sixers get the win because Embiid torched them as well. We'll look ahead to divisional round playoff weekend for the NFL. There's a common theme to all but one of the coaches that are left. Should that maybe change the decisions for the Jaguars and the Dolphins as they look for a coach? We'll get into all of that and a whole lot more. And Dave Majors, the CEO of Mecum Auto, you remember he joined us a couple of weeks ago, is going to join us coming up in 1 hour from now. You can get in touch, 844-580-9326. That's 844-580-9326. Also, in the open mic in the WDBO app, just download the app, click on the open mic. We will play those throughout the show. But of course, you know how we start every single night.
A six-pack of the can't-miss stories from today. Today, the Yuengling six-pack on Live, Local, and Loud. One.
Oh, by the way, because yesterday I was unaware it was National Popcorn Day.
Yes.
I did go ahead and cheat this year, or today, or now.
Today's National Butter Crunch Day, by the way. Yeah.
It is Butter Crunch Day, but there's a more important day there. Did you see it?
I did not.
Cheese. Cheese. So we're going to have to talk a little bit about cheese tonight because cheese is definitely on the list of things that I have a love affair with.
I believe
I'm
you
sure.
are 85% cheese. Yes, you are. There's a lot of cheese making up you. Yes.
Anyways, Anthony Davis says that there's too much negativity on the Lakers and that's the reason why the team can't figure it out. Too much negativity. Wonder who he's talking about.
I think the problem is there isn't enough Anthony Davis on the floor for the Lakers. What about that? Like, I think if you're injured and you can't play, and this is the media's fault because they ask, right? So we ask the question. This is such a catch-22 for athletes because we want guys to be open. We want guys to be honest. We want them to talk to the media. Then they do, and then guys like me bang on them because they do. But Anthony Davis, honestly, like, shut the hell up, man. Like, don't say anything at all. Anthony Davis has been a disappointment. If you take the bubble championship away, we're having a very different conversation about who Anthony Davis is because
100%.
He's kind of the NBA version of Matt Stafford because
LeBron James do it different in hindsight.
I don't know because what's the alternative? Right there, it's not as if there were many superstars that were flocking to go play with LeBron that were available, that were clutch guys that they could basically hold the gun to the franchise's head and say, hey, no, he's actually going to leave and we want him and he'll sign an extension. And Anthony Davis is supremely talented, but kind of like Matt Stafford for years, we blame the franchise, the Lions in Stafford's case, and in Anthony Davis's, it's the New Orleans Pelicans, where there's something wrong with the franchise and it's holding this great talent back. I have watched Anthony Davis now with the Pelicans. He doesn't seem disciplined. He was out of shape when he got to this season. He was out of shape last year after the bubble season. We blame that exhaustion on having to play in the bubble. I don't know. He's supremely talented, but he is underwhelmed in three seasons with the Lakers, and you're signed on long-term with that guy. So I do wonder, is that the piece that you trade to try to improve this roster to bring in fill in the blank player, and I don't even know who that is. But I don't think Anthony Davis should be pointing the finger at all at anybody because he has not held up his end of the bargain when it comes to the Lakers season because of health or when he's been on the floor. He hasn't been that good. I'm trying to remember what he was shooting from three, but I thought it was abysmal when he got injured.
Two.
It is official. Robot umpires will call strikes and balls in the AAA next year. And when I say next year, I mean this year. In 2022, this season coming up.
They're not going to play this year, let's be honest. Are they going to play this year? Are we going to get a season?
I don't think we get a season.
Okay.
But if they do, robots will be making the calls.
So
this is disgusting, man.
By the way, Anthony Davis.
I'd rather them put like this robot eye on the umpires than actually have robots do it.
By the way,
just
Anthony
give them
Davis.
Like a little vision goggle, like that dude in Star Trek: The Next Generation,
right,
who did the reading rainbow thing. Just put like little goggles on him,
mm-hmm,
and he can then he knows what he's doing.
So it's a headline though that is a little misleading. Like balls and strikes are the only things that the quote unquote robots are going to be calling. It's a technology very similar to my understanding, at least, to like what you see in the tennis replays. Right, where it just kind of tracks the ball and you get balls and strikes. An umpire will still be behind home plate.
And the umpire will still call, like, they'll say strike, they'll say ball.
Exactly, yes.
They'll still be doing the thing. They'll just have a computer telling them what to say.
Exactly. Well, my concern here was automation, Jerry. I'm worried about Americans' jobs. Like, good, hard-working Americans.
Oh, they're still going to, but this is just the
They're not losing
test.
Any jobs, which
no,
is great.
No, this is just the
That's
first
okay. I'm worried about the Americans, the good, hard-working salt of the earth umpires that have been ruining baseball games for years. I don't feel bad about this at all. I want you to get the call right. Now, what I do think will be an unintended consequence of this is you're going to see teams master these strike zones and they're going to be dominant, right? Clayton Kershaw is going to learn how to fit his curveball onto the absolute edge that he's getting, and he'll get it routinely every single start. I think that the most talented, but you will see the cream rise to the top in baseball like we haven't seen in the past.
3.
The NFL, as early as next season, may attempt to eliminate credit card and cash purchases completely from all NFL games. The only way you'll be able to buy anything at a game will be with your cell phone, which is what you have to do now to get into a game, because now cell phones are required, even at Magic games here in Orlando. But all purchases will have to be on cell phones.
I feel like this is going to be a real generational debate. I do a lot of purchasing with things on my cell phone currently. Like when I go to Publix, Apple Pay, ding. When I go to Starbucks, Starbucks app, ding. This wouldn't be a big deal to me at all. You just double punch that side button. You've never used your phone to pay for
something?
I've
never used my phone to pay
for anything. Dude, it's so liberating. You don't have to carry a wallet around
anymore.
I
got a call from Apple credit card the other day.
Yeah.
It's Lehman Brothers or something. One of the credit cards that runs Apple credit card.
Okay.
And they were like, sir, your payment's late. I'm like, payment's late? I've never used the card. And they're like, oh, we had a fee on there and you have to pay the $8 fee annually or something like that.
Okay.
And I'm like, how do you even look at the bill? No, this is important. He goes, we don't send statements. And the only way to look at your Apple credit card bill is on an Apple device. Well, I don't have a MacBook and I don't have an iPhone. So the only way I can look at my Apple credit card is on my stupid iPad.
Can I ask you, why do you have an Apple credit card then?
Because you get student pricing on Apple devices, even if you're not a student, as long as you have the Apple credit.
Oh, okay. So you're working the system.
Yes.
Okay. So you're trying to screw the system and the system screwed you. I don't feel bad at all whatsoever.
Well, they didn't charge me a fee or anything. I guess it's an annual fee.
Well, of course, because you screamed at him for a little while. That's all.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good for you then. I understand. What's the problem?
4.
In a blow to principal owner Stuart Sternberg's attempts to secure a new ballpark,
we win.
In and around both the city of Tampa and Montreal, Major League Baseball has given the Rays bad news today. Originally, they had given them permission to explore a sister city concept back in 2019. As of today, Major League Baseball has closed the door. That's my door closing. They are no longer going to be able to use the option of playing in two cities in Major League Baseball.
I would stand up and applaud right now if the fact wasn't that it took Major League Baseball 2.5 years to figure this out. Like this, this is embarrassing that we had to do this.
I think Major League Baseball thought that this was going to rile up the city of Tampa into supporting.
Congratulations, Tampa.
And I think it actually made Tampa more upset.
Congratulations, Tampa. The Rays, Major League Baseball, and Stu Sternberg bluffed. You looked them dead in the eye and called them. Good for you. And guess what? There were not pocket aces in there. There were no face cards. They were sitting on 7 deuce because they have nowhere to go. Nowhere to go right now. Tampa won. And once again, I will say it. Billionaires, pay for your own damn stadiums. Stop asking the taxpayers to foot the bill for your toy. There's no reason why. It's going on in Buffalo right now. It's going. Tampa wants it. And you know what? Montreal looked at this, and they're desperate, Jerry. desperate, like Steve Carell in The 40-Year-Old Virgin, desperate for a baseball team. And they looked at this and they said, you know what? This looks like a really crappy deal. We don't want to do it either. And baseball today, this deal has been dead on arrival. It's been dead for 2.5 years. It's been stupid. One of the dumbest ideas ever. It has felt like the emperor with no clothes. Like, I felt like everyone else was in on the joke but me. I don't get it. And finally, baseball killed it. Thank goodness our national nightmare is over, Central Florida.
5.
So according to rumors, a one-year deal is probably what we're looking at, as the Browns have to determine what they want to do with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, fifth-year option.
Rumors coming out of Cleveland is that if accepted, they would give Baker one more year to figure it out up there in the town, otherwise known as Cleveland.
So what would you do if you were the Browns front office?
Or I guess the land, sorry. I'm moving on from Baker Mayfield.
Okay, but what's the alternative then? That's always the really important question. So if not Baker, then who?
I don't know, man. 1 year.
There you go. You failed.
Put him on a 1 year deal.
Yeah, it's a fifth year option. It's a fifth year option. It's not even a 1 year deal. It's his fifth year option.
Fifth year option.
Make him earn it. That's fine.
But he wants He wants it done. He wants to get it.
Of course. All right. Well, then Baker can hold out if he'd like. I don't think that there are many teams that would pay Baker Mayfield what Baker Mayfield wants. We're looking at a quarterback here who's 29-30 in his career. Completes 61% of his passes. He's 92 touchdowns to 56 interceptions. So that's what? Just about a 2-1. We're somewhere in that neighborhood or so. I went to state school. Sorry about the math, everybody. And he played through an injury last year. I think that he should be commended on that. He is tough as hell. But along with that toughness, there is a stubbornness that goes along with Baker Mayfield. There's always noise around him. That's what would bother me. I don't think from a mentality and maturity standpoint, Baker Mayfield is a franchise quarterback. Regardless of what happened last season, short of him winning the MVP and the Browns making a deep playoff run, I think I would have made him prove it in the fifth year. And I think this is the right decision for them. There are good options out there. I think what I would do is I would bring in a veteran quarterback. This feels like Ryan Fitzpatrick territory. Like, it's kind of feeling like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I know Case Keenum's there. He's not quite good enough. You got to bring in somebody who's kind of hungry for a starting job to compete with him. And if he takes it from him, Baker's not the guy. But I don't think there's many teams that would be lining up to sign Baker Mayfield. I think this is going to be one of his only options.
6.
Relatively quiet for the last couple of years after a lot of negative attention, including when his own son, Lonzo, had a very, 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 very public separation and blowout with his father. Is it now time to give credit where credit's due, that LeVar was able to get two of his sons into successful NBA careers, especially Lonzo's success now with the first-seed Chicago Bulls?
I think LeVar deserved credit when Lonzo was taken. I have always been pro LeVar because there are people in this world that you have to admire that they don't mind sounding crazy. Like what LeVar did, speaking Lonzo into the number two pick, he spoke that into existence. He went on every show. Anyone who would take him, he went on it. And then what happened was it kind of got old. It jumped the shark. Everyone got tired of him. And then a few years later, LaMelo, who goes all the way to Australia, right? He's not playing in high school. He gets taken. What was LaMelo taken? Second or third? He wasn't the number one pick. To Charlotte. Yeah. He goes third to Charlotte. That sounds right. Because you had Edwards, Wiseman to Golden State. Yeah, that's what it was. And then he goes third to Charlotte. He didn't speak that into his existence, but you've got two kids that were taken with two top three picks. Yeah, and by the way, I mean, I'm not a parent, so I'm never in a position to judge someone else's parenting. And I know Joe Kelly was going on and on about taking a community or whatever.
And LiAngelo has a pretty decent G League career going. I mean, he's
paid, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. But they, at least the other two, I know LiAngelo got a whole thing in China. I'm not, that was a mess. And sometimes dumb kids just do dumb things, but they're good kids. They haven't been in any trouble. You know, you got to give him a little bit of credit for what he's done.
Right, and he's been quiet lately.
He has been. Thank goodness, because he is annoying. That is the Yuengling Six Pack, our six pack of trending stories here on Live, Local, and Loud. It's brought to you by our friends at Yuengling, America's oldest brewery since 1829. We'll get to our open mic question of the night coming up. We're Live, Local, and Loud here on WDBO. You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
telling you what it is and how it is every single night. It's live, local, and loud. Here's Nick and Jerry.
And thanks for hanging out with us live, local, and loud right here on WDBO 107.3 FM at AM 580 Orlando's News and Talk. He is Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Runowitz, Nicky Football. You can get in touch, 844-580-9326. That's 844-580-9326. Also, in the open mic in the WDBO app, just download the app, click the open mic, and we will play those throughout the show. After what was a spectacular night last night for Mo Bamba, more bad news for the Orlando Magic. According to reports, Magic guard RJ Hampton sustained an MCL sprain and a bone bruise in his left knee. This is from Kobe Price, the Orlando Sentinel. Midway through the fourth quarter of last night's loss to the 76ers, he's listed out for tomorrow night's game at Amway Center against the Lakers, and he could miss up to a month and a half, 4 to 6 weeks is what they're saying.
And he was
here.
Trade fodder, wasn't he?
I mean, a little bit. RJ Hampton, he kind of reminds me of the guard version of Aaron Gordon. Like, he's athletic. He's raw. He belongs on the court. You just don't know where he belongs on the court, and you keep hoping that—
I think on the right team, he's an asset. I don't want to build around him. That's my problem.
Yeah, he's not there yet. I mean, that's really the thing, is he's raw. And that's what this kind of an injury does to kind of hurt a player like RJ Hampton, is you miss 4 to 6 weeks on a team like Orlando where you can play major minutes. And what I think the fear is, if you're an RJ Hampton fan, and I am, like, I do think, you know, at one point in time he was the number one high school recruit. I thought that he was overlooked in Denver. You got him in that deal. I thought that it was a steal. He was the Eastern Conference Player of the Month last year, I want to say in April or so, and he was kind of coming on. And what happens now, I think, is RJ Hampton leaves. In 4 to 6 weeks, Markel Fultz could be back. Jonathan Isaac could be back. Jalen Suggs will work his way into more major minutes. And you'll have kind of missed that opportunity for him to play bigger and bigger minutes and to develop him. So I wouldn't move on from him. But when you talk about how careers are shaped and how players fall through the cracks on teams, this is kind of how, where very much of it is, I don't want to say luck, but kind of right place, right time kind of thing. So, you know, now the Magic are going to have to further rely on Cole Anthony, Gary Harris, and Jalen Suggs until Markel Fultz gets back. But this organization has been bitten by the injury bug this year, and it continues. I mean, we have not seen Michael Carter-Williams. We have not seen Etuan Moore. This is a frustrating one because I do think this player could be special in the right place, just like what you said there, Jerry.
Yeah, I was excited to see him on the court when we made the trade. I mean, it was one of those trades where they had to make the move with Aaron Gordon, and they did as best as they could. And all those kind of last-minute flash sales are always ugly. But there's so many young pieces on this team that the Magic drafted that I'm looking forward to seeing them do, you know, seeing how they develop.
Yeah.
And Suggs, man, we've not gotten much out of him yet because of injuries. But I'm looking forward to seeing do you like that they're starting Suggs?
Yeah, again? 100%. He's got to be in that starting lineup. He's a top five pick in the draft, 100%. You got to play him. You got to develop him. You've put a lot into him. Him, Wagner are the two guys that you have to make sure that you play and you develop.
So what do you do with Fultz then?
Well, when he comes back, he plays, absolutely. But, I mean, I guess I was doing that math when Markel Fultz was not available. When Markel Fultz comes back, I think you will see Fultz come off the bench for a little while and kind of work his way back in. And then you play Suggs and whoever your other best guard is, Cole Anthony or Markel Fultz. It's going to be interesting to watch. All right.
Yeah, and it's been, hey, no one wants to talk about this, and the losses are hard, but the Magic are like, it's heartbreaking, but the 5-point losses, I think they have the most losses in the NBA, 5 points or less.
It's exactly what you want in a season like this. Kevin Rafuse has talked about it every time he comes on the show. You're in it for 3.5 quarters, and then you're working on the draft pick. They're the perfect kind of games. And I don't root for losses, of course, but they are the perfect kind of games. All right, he's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nicky Football. We're live, local, and loud here on WDBO.
WDBO, 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's news and talk. Hey! because everyone needs a little fun after a long workday. It's live, local, and loud. Now back to Nick and Jerry.
And thanks for hanging out with us. Mecum CEO Dave Majors is going to join us coming up in about 45 minutes from now. That's not right. 25 minutes from now. That's my state education once again. You can get in touch, 844-580-9326. I should say my USF education. There are good state educations in this state. He's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nicky Football. Thanks for making our Thursday part of your Thursday right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's news and talk. So two big Major League Baseball headlines today. What we're not hearing about is the actual important stuff. Like, are they going to play next year? We're in the midst of a work stoppage.
Well, they're deflecting, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was what I was getting to. Yeah. That is what they're doing. That's it. Hey, look at this hand because the other one, the other one is stuck. The thumb is stuck where the sun don't shine. So we can't show you that one because we are going to bleep up the 2022 season. Yeah.
I haven't received my tickets yet for Yankee spring training.
They can't yet. They can't. They physically can't do it.
They charged my credit card.
They already charged you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, they charged you in four parts. They split it up over four parts. And the last payment you get charged is February. So I've already been charged three of the months. And normally by this point, I get the little ticket notice. Now, in the old days, you actually got like a little book and it would have all the tickets in it. They don't do that anymore, but you get the electric notice, and I haven't gotten anything yet. And I'm telling you, this is late. Like, it's January 20th.
Jerry, I'm telling you, they're in a work stoppage. Yes. Are you expecting
to go
to spring?
I know, but you at least proceed like you're going to, like, actually play, right?
No, I think that shows how serious this is. I think it shows that they have no expectation whatsoever.
Yeah.
They have no expectation, but there hasn't been when last season ended.
I don't think we're going to have a spring training this year.
Okay, I'm okay. Yes, I agree. I hope not. But that's, I mean, I hope so. I hope that
I
we
love
do.
Spring training, man.
I know you do.
So it's just, I think they're going to blow right through spring training. I think there's a chance we lose the entire season. I think there's a chance that we don't get the World Series for the second time in, what, 30 years. The last time this happened, it cost a city we talked about an entire baseball team, and that was the Montreal Expos. By all accounts, the Montreal Expos were expected to win the World Series that year, and because there was no World Series, they packed up ship and they moved south, way south, and that's why we don't have Montreal Expos anymore, and clearly you're not going to get a Montreal team anytime soon. So this thing's getting ugly, man. It's getting ugly fast. So, but the funny thing to me is that it's not even that, like, they're not even talking. Like, they walked out on the meetings. They said that they're not going to convene it again until the end of January. So it's like they're not even trying to get to the middle of this. It's like there's no attempts. The winter meetings were, the players did not participate in the winter conversations after one day. It was one day. And then they walked out. I'm sorry. I mean, I know this is not where you wanted to go down the rabbit hole, but I'm just depressed, man. I love baseball. So speaking of baseball, the announcement was today that they're going to use, they said robots, but it's not really robots. It's digital assistants for strikes and balls. And I got to bring up the fact is when you look at the actual article, when you read the article about what Major League Baseball is doing, is it any different than what hockey's doing? Hockey uses a computer and a camera system to determine when the puck goes through the net. It's not a ref that does that anymore. The NFL uses digital cameras tracking to determine where the first down line is. So that's essentially the same thing. It's a camera with a GPS system.
The NFL is still two guys. The NFL is still two guys tied together with a chain. I mean,
they
could talk
about
that
on the sideline, but you and I both know they're now using the digital camera system.
They're still extremely inaccurate with it, and rarely do they actually rely on it. It's eyeballed on the field.
Yes.
I mean, like, so I disagree with the NFL side of it. I will agree 100% with the NHL and really with soccer because they use VAR, right? VAR?
Yeah. The only one that's really not proceeding digitally is basketball. And I think that's interesting because there's not a sensor on the basket or a camera on the basket that determines if the ball goes in with the clock. They're still looking at the clock. They're still looking at the camera.
But that's because you're not racing the clock. You're racing, did the ball get out of his hands?
I know, but still, it's just interesting to me that it seems like the NBA is the least dependent on technology at this point.
Because I think it's the simplest game. It's two baskets and a ball. I would love for us to get further away from replay in the NBA because we keep using all of this block charge stuff and you know, was it what type of foul was it with that? You just keep slowing the games down. So I think we should get further away from replay in those. But let's talk about the actual topic here, and that is they're going to use robots. I think it's good for baseball. Speed it up.
It speeds up the game.
It's going to speed up the game, which is what it needs. And I feel like every time we talk about baseball, we need to try to improve baseball. But this is the one lingering problem with the game. I won't talk about any other problem with the game, like the length of the schedule is way too long, or the players don't care about the regular season, and the owners seem to always cry poor. None of that stuff. I don't care. I'm not going to talk about any of that stuff whatsoever. What I will talk about is the length of game, even though they have put pitch clocks in, they have put clocks in to try to speed up the middle innings or the between innings. They have tried to move all of that along. It has that you can now walk somebody without throwing any pitches. The games are still too long. The NBA is doing what they can to get to that 2-hour mark. Soccer is perfect. There's one perfect thing about the game of soccer, in my opinion. 2 hours. You know how long it's going to be. But again, how long, honey, how long are you going to be gone? Well, first of all, I don't go to soccer games, so my wife's never asked me that. But it's 2 hours. You know that.
Well, here's the problem. It's not too long for the in-person product. It's too long for the television.
Where's all the money made?
I don't know.
It's the only thing that matters.
Because I actually appreciate a long event when I'm dropping $300 a pop to go see it. So that's the thing is that I don't want to see a game in 2 hours because I want those nine innings to last.
Baseball doesn't care about you, Jerry. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to hurt your feelings, okay? I don't want to hurt your feelings. You're my friend. We've been working together almost 6 years, okay? I don't want to hurt your feelings. Baseball does not. You are, how do I put this nicely? You are an older man who's watched baseball your entire life. You are going nowhere. Baseball actually doesn't care about you. Baseball cares more about me,
yeah.
Our buddy Chris Crawford,
or
Kevin Rayfuse.
Yeah.
I'm the younger generation. I'm not saying that we are important. What we are,
you don't buy season tickets.
There you go.
I buy season tickets.
Okay, but here's the thing: baseball knows that they're not going to get season tickets from me. What they want is they want to get my eyeballs on the television. They want to try to get me to go to 5 to 7 games. Me going 5 to 7 games a year in their mind, Jerry, is more important than you buying season tickets. It just is. I don't know if it makes any monetary sense. I'm not an economics guy. I don't know what the finances are of baseball.
Well, they're worried about their future because when my generation dies off.
Yeah, when you die, it's gone.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's what baseball's trying to do.
Cheerful.
That got a little dark there for a minute. I'm sorry. But when this older generation begins to, is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. When they go to the big Iowa in the sky, when that happens, baseball's
Montana.
Baseball's going to have a problem.
I agree with you that they don't care about my generation.
They don't care.
And that's fine.
Your generation. They've gotten their money from your generation.
20 to 40 is I don't know. There's some number in there, right?
It's like 23 to 45, somewhere around there. That's what they care about.
Yeah, that ship sailed.
Yeah.
So, but at the end of the day, though, I just like the in-game experience, and I just feel that we're losing it. And I think this is going to go on to it. Now, the good news is that to the actual casual fan on the field, you're not going to realize that the umpire's not calling strikes.
Exactly, yes.
So that's a good thing. But I still think this is a slippery slope. I hate to use that term because it's going to annoy you. But this is, without a doubt, a slippery slope.
I just hate slippery slope arguments. Sometimes they're called for. But this is – so what about this slope is slippery, I guess?
Because they're going to go more and more. Did the ball past the wall of a home run threshold? Did the, you know, did the batter get, you know, to the home plate? They could put sensors on the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Did, you know, all of these things can probably be moved out of human touch.
Cool.
Oh, we come
did it.
On,
we
man.
Did it with the assembly line, didn't we? Oh, you know, Mike just puts a bumper on a car. Great. How can you replace Mike? We just did. See you, Mike. It's called progress. It's how you move forward. Our
I went to
was
Meekum
this
weekend.
This.
The most valuable cars there, the ones that everybody wanted the most, were all handmade.
Okay.
Baseball, Major League Baseball, is the handmade. It's the thing that we all want. It's the cream of the crop.
That's not what the ratings are telling me. That's not what ticket sales are telling me. That's not what attendance is telling me. If we were going off of attendance, we'd be talking about hockey, wouldn't we? Or the NFL, which was a huge jump this year.
Yeah, people go to hockey games. They just don't watch them on TV.
If we were going off of TV ratings,
yes,
we'd be talking about the NFL. Baseball doesn't factor into any of this.
Yeah.
Handmade car.
What?
It's a bad metaphor. Come on.
McLaren, Pagani, Ferrari, Bentley,
Rolls Royce. Last week when I was in Denver. Sick automobile. Unbelievably awesome automobile.
There was way too many McLarens in this city.
And this one?
For the oh yeah, I see McLarens.
I saw one
in Winter Park. I see a McLaren at least 3 times a week.
Good for them.
There's this one dude on the corner of 1792 and Orange Avenue. I don't know why he's always on that corner somewhere. I swear, every time I'm driving up Orange
Avenue,
he's
probably living his awesome life.
He must live somewhere around there.
Good for
him.
And
during Christmas, he put a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer nose on his McLaren.
Good for him. It's your car. Do what you want with it.
That's sacrilege.
By the way, going along with car talk, Dave Majors, the CEO of Meekum Auto, is going to join us coming up in just about 15 minutes. He's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nikki Football. We're live, local, and loud here on WDBO.
Because everyone needs a little fun after a long work day. It's live, local, and loud. Now back to Nick and Jerry.
And thanks for hanging out with us, live, local, and loud, right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. Orlando's news and talk. He's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Grunowitz, Nikki Football. You can get in touch, 844-580-9326. Also in the open mic in the WDBO app. So you said earlier, Jerry, the NFL is pressing to remove all credit card payments from games next year. No cash, no credit cards, only phone payments, right? Only digital phone payments.
Only digital phone payments.
Can you ever really?
Very, very big brother to me, I might add.
Why?
Well, because then they know who I am.
Don't they know that with your credit card?
No, I could use a gift card.
So you can't buy, you can't use like a Visa gift card. You have to use your phone at that point in time.
No, they're saying they're going to move to phone payments only.
So what percentage of gift cards do you think are used in NFL games?
Probably this is always, not much.
I always hate
have
these
an
arguments.
NFL gift card in my wallet right now.
I'm sure
they'll
take it.
But I don't know, man. Credit cards, really? Credit cards are bad? I've graduated from swiping,
mm-hmm.
which is funny because
you
swiped
payment.
For like what? Yeah, because the old days you did the little thing where they take your credit card and they do the little, and they imprint your credit card on like a piece of paper,
uh-huh.
and then you went to the swipey thing,
right?
And then it seems like the chip was like 1 year, and then the chip's gone. Now it's only the little passy thing.
Well, no, you can still use the chip. Chip is still there. Definitely still is.
I'm just saying it's now everybody uses the little swipey thing, which, by the way, is way better than the chip.
When you say swipey thing, what the hell are you talking about? Where the touch
payment?
When
you take the credit card and you just kind of touch it. Yeah, you touch it.
Okay.
Yeah. I just like it better.
I'm just trying to understand your problem with this. I mean, how many NFL games do you go to a year?
I don't like them having my phone number. I don't like them having my
By the way, when you pay with your when you pay with your phone, you can choose whether or not you share any of this.
I don't believe them. I don't trust them.
You don't? Okay. All right. So that's all this. This is all just unfounded skepticism.
Well, what if I forget my phone?
Which
I go
love
hungry?
90%. 90%. Yeah, yes. Yes, you do. What if you forget your wallet? Do you go hungry? Yes.
What if my cell phone dies? My wallet doesn't die.
Now, that is a legitimate, that is actually a legitimate
See,
concern.
See, I finally found one.
Okay, thank God. It took 59 minutes. My goodness.
My phone dies all the time.
It does, actually. That is true. Your phone dies more than anyone's phone that I know. Like, you, if you need one of those battery packs, you definitely do. All right, Dave Majors.
And those battery packs aren't allowed in the stadiums anymore.
The CEO, Meekum, is going to join us coming up next. We're live, local, and loud here on WDBO.
FM and AM 580, Orlando's news and talk. Live, local, and loud.
Who are these knuckleheads?
Passion.
We have no clear star. We can lose anybody and still be as good.
Energy.
You are obsessed with his mother. I'm a little uncomfortable with how obsessed with his mother you are.
And a whole lot of laughs.
Oh, crap, all of you.
It's live, local, and loud.
We have a show on a Marconi award-winning station.
This is like playing for the Yankees.
Here's Nick Grinewitz and Jerry Daniels.
All right. Hour number two, live, local, and loud right here on WDBO, 107.3 FM and AM 580. Orlando's news and talk. He is Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Grinewitz, Nicky Football. Thanks so much for making our evening part of your evening. A couple of weeks ago, Jerry and I got the great pleasure and great opportunity to head over to the Meekum car auction down in Kissimmee, Jerry. This was a great opportunity for the two of us, and they had a very successful weekend.
2 weeks
there.
Ago.
Yeah, they had a successful weekend.
It was all the way back on Saturday, January 8th, is actually when you and I went down there and hung out with some listeners. One of our listeners even got a chance to swing the gavel.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a gavel, right?
I believe it is. I believe it's an auctioneer's gavel.
I think it's called a gavel. But right now on the line, we have David Majors. How you doing, man? You guys had I guess you're coming back to Kissimmee, huh?
I think we might come back again. You know, we've been there, we've been in Kissimmee 22 years. This is our 22nd year, and by far the most spectacular year that we've ever had in Kissimmee, you know, record setting. And I think no less than 7 records, and of course the biggest one being the largest collector car auction that anybody has put on of all time with $217 million of sales.
And I got to tell you, you know, last year with COVID, you guys did what you could do to keep it safe environment. But even this year, when everybody was kind of throwing caution to the wind, everybody seemed to be doing what they needed to be doing, and everybody was behaving themselves, and it was just everyone was having fun, and it just had a great energy, and it just felt like it was back, like we were back. It just felt good. It was like everybody was there to celebrate, 10 days of cars.
Yeah, you know, COVID and Omicron, certainly it's still on everybody's mind, but you're exactly right. It's everybody was being as safe as they felt they needed to be and as they possibly could. But at the same time, it was good to see, you know, big crowd and breakout. We were there for 11 days and we had big crowds all 11 days. And it's, you know, it was good just to see people get out and have fun again.
I know you're there to sell cars, but I got to tell you, as far as a museum, it is literally a touring museum. The cars that I saw there, I mean, obviously, you know, you're there to service the people who are trying to sell their vehicles and those that are buying it. But if you're a lover of the car, even if you're not in the market for that particular car, the things you had there, the vault car, that Corvette that looked like it was fell out of a time capsule, the passenger van from Glacier National Park. I've never seen anything like that in my life. Of course, number one of 22 Ferrari F4s ever made, and at one time was the fastest production car in the world. You had Walter Payton's Porsche there. My point is that there was so many things you couldn't take it all in.
I like to say that we are a car show. We are the world's best car show, and we happen to have an auction. And about 90% of the people that come through the gates aren't wearing bidder badges. They're just coming to see the spectacle that is Meekum Auctions, and you know, in the case of Kissimmee, to see 3,500 great cars all in one place. See, not many places you can do that.
Now, I got to tell you, because no one realizes, I know the cars are the big draw, and we'll talk more about that in a second, but No one talks about the cool little road art collection that you guys have at these shows.
Yeah, that was cool.
Which is amazing. You have all of these signs from old gas stations. You had an Eskimo pie machine. You had all this memorabilia. And, of course, my favorite, the gas pumps. Oh, my God, the gas pumps.
Yeah, we had over 3,000 pieces of road art at the Kissimmee auction. And we start every morning of the auction before the cars start to cross the auction block. We run about an hour of road art, and there could be anywhere from 25 pieces to 150 pieces. And then on Monday, as I said, we're there for 11 days. So when we're there on Monday, we don't auction cars. That is completely a road art day. And it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. And this year it ended at about 7:30 at night, just running road art across the block. And there, that is, road art is very, very collectible, and not necessarily car people. There are people that just collect road art and road memorabilia that aren't necessarily car collectors as well. So it's always great to see that mix. And some of those signs can get pretty expensive.
They do. I got to tell you, my personal favorite was Bob's Big Boy sign. And yeah. I might have taken about 4 pictures in front of it, just so you're aware.
Well, I always think that, those are always so cool. And we've seen, in my tenure, we've seen 3 or 4 of those. And I always wonder, what do you do with it when you buy it? Take it home and put it in your front yard. Because as you know, they're huge.
They are massive. And I got to tell you, I was having dreams of what my garage could look at. Talking to David Majors, he's the CEO of Mecum, had a record-breaking $217 million auction, breaking last year's record. In fact, I'm talking to David Morton, your PR and marketing guy, on Friday, and I think you had already broke last year's record-breaking week by Friday this past show.
Yeah, last year we set a record for Mecum, not an all-time record for every auction company, but just for us. We did about $142 million of business, and that broke our previous record of 106. So it was quite an improvement from the record that had stood for several years. So when we came back to Kissimmee this year, we knew we had a lot of vehicles, more vehicles than we've ever brought to Kissimmee. We knew we had the best quality of vehicles, top to bottom, that we've ever brought to Kissimmee. So we were pretty confident we were going to break our own record. But even for us, $217 million and breaking the world record surprised us.
Now, I don't want a negative connotation from the next thing I'm going to say, but we haven't had circuses in a long time. The big one, the Ringling Brothers down there in Sarasota, has kind of gone by the wayside.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, you essentially are running the greatest show on earth. It's everything. You have the tents. One of them is so big they call it the Titanic. You have kids who are getting little pins that say my first badge or my first bidder or bidder in training name tags. You've got the ringmaster who's the auctioneer. You have the three circus. You have the stage where the cars come in. You've got the middle stage, and then they go off to that pad on the right. So there's your three rings. I'm sorry if I'm insulting you, but do you sometimes feel like you're running a circus?
And don't forget a little bit of a carnival too with the Dodge Thrill Rides that we have rides
yes,
as well.
Yes, yes.
No,
yeah,
I actually refer to us as the circus, and I refer to Mecum as our little circus because, we travel just like the circus does. It takes us a couple of days to set up. We have our event, big crowds, a couple of days to tear down, and we travel. When you think about the old circus trains, we have, I think today, we have about 19 semis that travel Mecum from one event to the next, including 3 television production trucks because we produce our own television. And then we have another 12 car haulers. So we are 31 semis to move Mecum from one event to the next. And all of the people that you see working at our events, and there were about 300 of them at the Kissimmee auction, all of those people work every event. So they travel.
Yeah,
with
I was
as
talking
well.
To people. They're like, "Are you from Wisconsin?" And they're like, "No, I'm from Illinois, or I'm from Texas, or I'm from California, or I'm from North Carolina." Just the personnel management on this thing is incredible.
Yeah, the logistics is to move all of the equipment, to move all of the people. And of course, you know, we have to get hotel rooms. We have to get rental cars for everybody. We have to get airfare for everybody. We have to feed them when we're there. And, you know, just feeding our staff three meals a day is a monumental task. But I have people that will say to me, this runs so smoothly. How do you do that? And I tell them, we have the same people that have been working for Mecum Auctions and doing their part of the auction, some of them for 20, 25 years. There's even a few that have been with Mecum Auctions since its inception in 1988.
Now, you've downplayed how smooth it runs as far as the I'm going to call them fans, the bidders, the people that are there. But I got to tell you, it's a lot like a NASCAR event that everybody seems to be in on the joke. Like, everyone wants to be there. Like, we all get that we're car people. So you don't have security members yelling at you to not to go there. And you go to these car shows. I mean, I've been to the auto show at the convention center here, and they won't let you get close to a brand new Mazda, you know, Miata. But the event is so accessible. I don't think people realize, and everybody behaves. Everybody does what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, and that's part of our culture, and it's part of the car culture, I think, as well. You know, Mecum is a family-owned company. Dana Mecum and his wife Patty started the company in 1988. They both still work with us in the company, and all four of their sons work with us in the company every day. So we want that all-inclusive family feel environment. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's equal. You know, when we have sports celebrities come or you know, movie stars or television personalities come, when people come to a Mecum auction, they're all just car people. There is no sports personality. There is no movie star. We're all just car people, and we all love cars. And everybody that comes to a Mecum auction has respect for the vehicles and respect for the owners. And so, you know, we don't have to worry much about people damaging cars. As a matter of fact, you know, we encourage, if you're interested in a car, get in it, turn the key, listen to it run, you know, look underneath it, do what you need to do to get comfortable to bid on the car when it crosses the block.
Well, let's talk about celebrities. The celebrities are the cars. Now, I know I had a friend who had a big real estate sale this past couple weeks, and it was $35 million. You actually had a car sell or a car up for $35 million. Who was the big star this weekend?
Well, the cars in the gallery, you know, are always spectacular. Those are, I think there were 20-some cars in the gallery that are cars that we bring there to display, mostly for the museum aspect of allowing the public to come and look at some very special, very expensive cars. They are all for sale, but they do not cross the auction block at the auction. So when you go in that room with those cars in what we call the gallery, I think every one of those cars is a star. But I have to say that normally I can pick out one car at our auction and I can say that's the car. That's the one that, you know, we want to pay attention to. There were probably 20 or 30 cars I could say that about at this last Kissimmee auction. But the one I'm going to tell you that I think was the star and the most surprising, you know, even with the 65 Mustang, the Ken Miles Mustang and the Pagani, just a beautiful car. You can just run through that list. But that 1936 Glacier National Park tour bus was the one that I think that just shocked everybody.
How did you get that? Am I allowed to know? How did you get your hands on? I mean, how did that show up?
We had a collection at the auction. A very well-known collector, Jackie and Gary Runyon out of Indiana, and they brought 31 vehicles to the auction. All of them did. As a matter of fact, the Pagani was from that collection as well. The cars that they brought were, they were all beautiful cars, very well taken care of, and one of them happened to be that tour bus. And I don't think anybody had any idea what that tour bus might bring at the auction. But I think if you were pushed to guess, it might've been a couple of $100,000, but certainly not the $1,430,000 that it brought. And that was a pretty exciting moment in the auction when the bidding just kept climbing and climbing and climbing on that vehicle.
It was just so beautiful. I'm going to take you out on this. Do you want Hugh Jackman to play you when they make a movie about Mika?
I don't think that's going to happen. They might make a movie about Meekum, but I don't think we're going to get a star to play me.
All right. It is David Majors. I appreciate you coming on with us. You know how big of a fan I am. I couldn't stop talking to David Morton. I think poor David's ears were bleeding by the time 10 days had gone past for me annoying him with 20 million questions and interviews and all of that. We look forward to having you this summer. It seems like it's coming earlier this time. Wasn't it like in August last year, and this year it's in July? But we're really looking forward to seeing you and the team at Meekum back in Kissimmee this summer.
Yeah, and that's in the summer. We're actually at Orange County Convention Center, so it's a little bit different event. You know, I live in Tampa, so I know it gets a bit hot in the summer in Florida. So we appreciate being able to go to Orange County to the convention center and being all indoors with air conditioning for that event. But we just started coming to Orange County during the pandemic, and it has turned into a spectacular summer special, as we call it. So we're really looking forward to that as well.
All right. David Majors, thank you very much for your time, sir. We are Live Local and Loud.
Because everyone needs a little fun after a long work day. It's Live, Local, and Loud. Now back to Nick and Jerry.
And thanks for hanging out with us. A Thursday night edition, Live, Local, and Loud, right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. Orlando's News and Talk. He's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Grunowitz, Nicky Football. You can get in touch 844-580-9326. That's 844-580-9326. Also, in the open mic in the WDBO app, just download the app, click on the open mic, and we will play those throughout the show. Thanks to Meekum CEO David Majors for joining us a few moments ago. A big, big weekend for Meekum, as Jerry talked about with him over 2 weekends, I guess, down in Kissimmee. $217 million at the Kissimmee 2022 auction. It beats the existing collector car auction record of $176 million. We were part of that, man. I mean, like, I didn't spend any money there, but we brought people there. I don't know. We were part of it.
I bought a lot of crepes.
Yeah, you did. I know you bought a couple of T-shirts. We were all part of it. I don't know if that works.
I still have your hat.
I know you do.
I
know you do.
In the car.
That was one of the that was one of the funniest things ever. As we were leaving, you were like, hey, I want to buy you a hat, which made me feel like I was 8 years old, too. You're like, let me buy you a hat. I was like, okay.
I just wanted you to have a memory of it.
Oh, I appreciated it, too. I really did. I mean, and then you bought everything. You put the hat in the bag and then didn't offer me the hat. And I was like, okay, I don't know what happened there. He's going to hold on to it until I'm good.
Bruce Arians has decided to dispute this $50,000 fine that you and I both think
good
is
for
really
him.
Obnoxious.
Dispute it.
A tap on the head. And then I thought it was interesting today that the NFL decides to fine Dak Prescott half that amount, $25,000, because he was praising fans for throwing trash at refs, which I think is worse.
It's definitely worse. This is an interesting one, because what we're weighing here, first of all, can we talk about the Dak Prescott thing just for 1 minute? Because I know I know that you're disappointed after the loss, but Dak. Oh, they were throwing trash at the officials. All right, good for them. Like that is one of the dumbest things that I have heard someone say. And you get fined because you can't be inciting the fans to do that. We're trying to keep control of drunk people at games.
Yes,
it is. You can't have the quarterback of a franchise come out and say, you know what? If they die, they die. You can't do that. So that's number one. I would say the Dak Prescott thing is definitely worse, though. Physically manhandling a player, if you want to call him 60-something years old.
I know.
That's the thing. It's more of a union thing. That's what it is. The players' union swings a bigger stick than the referees' union, I guess.
The other thing that was cracking me up this weekend, did you see the Aaron Rodgers video on social media of him you haven't seen this?
No.
So Aaron Rodgers posted a video on social media, Instagram, asking, he was holding a football and he was asking Tom Brady if the firmness of the ball was too firm for the Patriots.
That's awesome.
You know, so I don't know what happened. Can you explain to me what happened? When did Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady get a personality?
Rodgers has always been like this.
Not this vocal.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, I'm sure as you age a little bit, I don't know, you tell me, you do get a little bit more outspoken, but Rodgers has always been this guy. In fact, I saw a video earlier today about something he said to a reporter while he was at Cal. Like, he's always been kind of this guy. Brady, it was from being in New England. It was from being part of the infrastructure there with Belichick. I mean, he played his part for the better part of, 20 years, basically. And now that he's left, I think what Brady also is doing is he's thinking about life after football, branding and personality and all of that that goes along with it. And, he's showing us that there's a little bit more to Tom Brady than just football. I mean, that's what the man in the arena and Tom versus time has all been about. So I think that's a big part of it, too.
It just seems like the two of them are a little, several of them are more free, but nonetheless, I don't know. It was kind of interesting to me that they seem to be more public about their poking each other. The other thing I wanted to get to was Michael Irving, someone who is in the Ring of Honor, as opposed to Jerry Jones, said that it's time to fire Mike McCarthy. And then he went out as far as naming three coaches that were available that he would fire Mike McCarthy for.
That's interesting. Who?
Now, I know he's no longer with the organization, but isn't that a little too far for someone that's kind of part of the Cowboys family?
That's always the tough question. We're going to get into this when we come back. All right. And the three coaches he mentioned, I'm very interested in because
I have them right here.
Will Dallas crumble to the pressure? It doesn't feel like Jerry Jones will. We'll get to that coming up. We're live, local, and loud here on WDBO.
This is WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's news and talk. So baby, hold on to me. Whatever will be constant. Because everyone needs a little fun after a long workday. It's live, local, and loud. Now back to Nick and Jerry.
And thanks for hanging out with us live, local, and loud right here on WDBO 107.3 FM. And AM 580 Orlando's news and talk. He's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Grunowitz, Nicky Football. You can get in touch 844-580-9326. Also in the open mic in the WDBO app. Just download the app, click on the open mic. We'll play those throughout the show. I want to get to this count. Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick. The reporting on that news story of that lady that wouldn't wear a mask and was drunk and was being rude to everybody.
So this is the flight going from Miami to the UK?
Yes.
Okay.
I just got to touch on it just a second. What should the penalty be?
They should have opened the door.
I have to fly all the way freaking back to Miami and then have to fly tomorrow to
We should
London?
Be allowed to open the door at 30,000 feet and throw her out. That's what I think the penalty should be. I'm being facetious here, slightly. Slightly. I have no tolerance on planes. I don't. And you are bringing this up at a time, Jerry, where I just got done with two of the most uncomfortable flights. I went to Denver and back. A four-hour flight to Denver and then a four-hour flight home, basically. That's how it normally works. I don't get any closer for whatever reason. Where people, I don't know what it is about people when they get on airplanes. Like, they lose all civility. Like, any control of themselves whatsoever.
The goes out the door.
I had an aisle seat. Are you an aisle or a window? You want aisle or window?
I like aisle.
Me too. When you're a kid, you want the window. You want to be able to look outside and kind of lay on it and stuff. I like the freedom of being able to get up and go to the bathroom if I need to. I don't want to
like
ask anyone's.
Times.
Exactly. Well, I don't. I'm still at an age where that's not necessary, but.
My prostate's the size of that plane seat.
I digress. Oh, don't even get me started about that. So I'm sitting on the aisle in an airplane. And the woman on the opposite side, across the aisle, is watching a movie with her iPad, no headphones.
No!
No headphones.
No!
If you do that, I should be allowed to reach over, grab the iPad, and spike it like Gronk after a touchdown. And there's no talking to people either. It's you turn and say, I don't even know. I didn't even know what to say. Fortunately.
Remember, I had cops called on me the one time at a restaurant because they were playing their music loud. And I nicely asked her to turn it off or turn it down because there was 11 people on that deck, on that porch, trying to enjoy their breakfast.
That's right.
And she called the police. And when the police showed up, she told them I assaulted her and everything else. And luckily, there was other patrons there that stood up and was like, this lady's a nut. All he did was ask her to lower her music. And the officer had to tell her, ma'am, it's not illegal for him to ask you to lower your music. Mm-hmm. You would have thought I hit her, which well, is apparently what she told the police officer.
She actually claimed it. So I want to go back to the story. So this woman who got on an international flight in Miami, they were flying to, was it to London? They were flying to London?
It was to London. Yeah,
okay, so Miami to London. All right. And on
which
the plane,
is like 9 hours.
She's drunk.
Yes.
She refuses to wear a mask. Which, by the way, if I were hammered, I don't think you're gonna have the easiest time getting a mask on me either.
You just don't get on a plane hammered.
You shouldn't get on a plane hammered. Tipsy, yes. A little buzzed. Get a little sleep going. That's good. Maybe you wake up. You're not jet lagged. Fool your body into. We've all tried it, people. I get it. But no, you should not get on a plane that hammered. Have I got on a plane that hammered? That's a different conversation. So. She then gets into a disagreement with the flight attendants. That's the right thing to call them, right? They're not stewardess. They're flight attendants.
I think they're flight attendants.
Okay, flight attendants. I just want to be PC. I want to make sure I'm PC here on
flight
this.
Flight attendants.
And they turned the whole flight around. How long had they been flying at that point in time?
My understanding it was almost an hour into the flight.
Yeah, it's like an 8-hour flight, isn't it?
Yes.
So they were, yeah, once again.
But you're talking taxi time,
mm-hmm.
getting on time.
Yep.
All these people now have to leave the airport because there's no more flights that night.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go back through security tomorrow.
Yep.
What's
the little raft thing? Put a parachute on her, throw the raft out over the ocean, over the Atlantic, and say, hey, I hope your aim's good. That's what I think.
I don't mean to make this the airplane segment, but there's one other story I wanted to get to. Did you see the story about the Rollins College student who was on a flight from London to Orlando, and he was the only person on the plane?
Cool.
No, this is interesting.
Yes, it
normally
is.
They cancel international flights if they're not booked, but there was a computer glitch.
Wow.
And apparently the only one who got ticketed for the flight was a Rollins College student flying home to Orlando.
That is sick.
And they still took off and still flew back.
Now,
which means you're talking like 40,000 in fuel, right?
I don't care about
so,
it.
So, okay. But so he did a YouTube video. It's online.
That's awesome.
Oh, you saw it?
No, but this story's awesome. Keep going. Yes.
So the attendants, there was five attendants on the flight. Mm-hmm. Obviously the pilot's a co-pilot.
Right.
They fawned over him. Anything you want, sir. He apparently had five desserts. He had all of the dessert options he could have on the flight.
Yes.
Yeah. It was Home Alone.
Did they let him sit first class? Like, please let
they
me
let
sit
him
first.
They let him sit in any seat he wanted to.
This is a man's dream here. Yes. He flew private.
Yes, he flew.
Everyone wants the PJ. That's it. He flew private.
Now, I have personally flown on a plane where the staff on the plane outnumbered the people on the plane. I think there was four or five passengers on the flight. But to be the only person on the flight, and mine was like Atlanta to Orlando,
mm-hmm.
to be the only person on a flight,
that's awesome.
International.
Yep.
We're talking 8 hours
that's so great.
London. Wow. How they could let that plane take off is just amazing to me.
I'm glad they did. Same thing goes for him, though, right? I mean, he bought the ticket. He showed up. The flight is going.
He did.
Now, from a clerical situation, someone got fired. I mean, like someone did. Someone got fired. Whether it's
well, he
the
said
gate.
He got on the plane. He thought he was just early. There was no one at the gate, so he thought he was late.
Oh, there was.
So
no
then
one,
he gets on
right.
the plane, and there's
oh.
no one on the plane. So he's waiting for other people to get on the
you,
plane.
You are right. At some point in time, someone should make a phone call there. Well, hey, there's one person here. Late? No. There's one person. You mean that wants on the plane? No. There's one person on the plane. There's one too many? No, there's one person. oh, okay, yeah, we should probably just take him off and put him on another plane. Like, clerically, from a from that side of it, someone's going to get fired. But that's awesome for the kid. That's sweet.
So to round out our trifecta of airplane stories, this is interesting. You'll get a kick of this. So IPAs have apparently started to wane in popularity.
Because they're gross.
They were really popular about 3-4 years ago.
All those hipsters, for me. Hipsters are growing out of
those hipsters.
Good.
I think these seltzer things have started to take over in that sort of regard. But apparently,
well, on the contrary, I thought you were into a victory lap there because the seltzer demand has fallen quite a bit.
It has fallen.
Yeah.
But part of the reason for the decline in IPA was the boom of the White Claws and that sort of thing.
Okay.
But the reason why I bring this up is apparently IPAs now are still the most popular requested beer on a plane. So even though IPAs are no longer popular at bars, IPAs now on airplanes are the beer that most people flying anywhere request, which begs the question, and I'm not making a joke here.
These hipsters aren't as poor as they say they are?
It's interesting. Why do you want a hoppy beer?
I have no idea.
On a flight?
I don't want a
hoppy
beer.
Have you ever ordered
anywhere.
Alcohol on a flight?
Oh, yeah, of course.
What's your go-to? Is it a mixed drink?
It's liquor. Yeah, it's
liquor. It is?
It's liquor. Whether it's just Jack on the rocks, whatever whiskey you're offering, usually it's Jack or something like that. But yeah, it's a
what annoys me
yeah.
is when you get on a plane now,
whiskey
if
ginger.
You order a single, they only give you half a can of Coke. If you want the full can of Coke, you have to order a double because they say it waters down the alcohol. But I'm like, just give me the rest of the damn can. I'll just drink the rest of the damn Coke.
By the way, that's none of your business whatsoever, whether or not it waters down the alcohol. I might just take the shot and then drink the Coke afterwards.
Yes.
It's none of your business whatsoever. How I consume it and how it tastes is not up to you. You are simply, at that point in time, you are a flight attendant, but also a waitress bringing it to me. You're not the bartender. You are not a mixologist. This is not... this isn't the Roomba Room. You're not Tom Cruise from Cocktail or anything. You're not putting on a show here. Bring me the full can of Coke, Diet Coke, ginger ale, whatever it may be. And after that, this transaction's finished. After I swipe my card, tap it, use my mobile pay, whatever we want to call it, stay along with that, and then tip you, the transaction's finished. So I'm going to go back to my in-flight movie, and I'm going to drink it however I want to drink it. It's not up to them.
How I get around it now is I order my cranberry juice with no ice, and then they have to end up filling the cup up, and then I order a water, and then I just quickly drink the water, and then I just pour the cranberry juice into my ice cup because they won't give you a full can of anything anymore.
That's just because they're cheaping out, though. It's really not about watering anything down. It's because these airlines are cheaping out because they'll claim COVID, but I mean they're cheaping out.
Yeah, the COVID thing has gotten to the point of obnoxious because I don't want to get in trouble here, but
no, go ahead.
If you sit in certain seats, you get a pre-flight cocktail before everybody gets on the plane. And
is that
it's
right?
been a year and a half. Shut up. It's been a year and a half since they've done that now. So every time I get on a plane now, I ask for my pre-flight cocktail and they tell me they can't because of COVID.
Wow, you poor rich people in first class, you don't get your drinks. I
didn't say that.
Excuse me if
I didn't say it.
If I'm not crying
for you. I'm
telling
you, the fact that they're telling me I can't get a pre-flight cocktail anymore because of COVID is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Do they make you check your violin or is that overhead space that you use for it?
All right, never mind.
Last call's coming up next.
You try to get a little sympathy and it doesn't work.
Yeah, I was just crammed into the 37th row of a budget airline flight for 4 hours. I ain't got nothing for you. Last call's next. We're live, local, and loud here on WDBO.